भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनुभिः यशेमदेवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ
ॐ मे वि ओ गाड्स् हियर् वित् अवर् इयर्स् वट् इस् आस्पिशस् मे वि O worshipful gods, see with our eyes what is good. May we, with a strong in limbs and body, sing your praise and enjoy the life allotted to us by Prajapati. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the second section of the second Mundaka. In our last class, we have been discussing about the eighth mantra. We have to remember what is this Upanishad about. It is in answer to Shaunaka, a disciple's question put to Rishi Angirasa. Kasminno bhagavo vignate sarvamidam vignatam bhavatiti. And he had answered, a beautiful answer he has given. What was the answer? By knowing the one mula karana. Then a person gets everything that he is desiring. And what is it man desires? Immortal life and infinite knowledge and unending joy or ananda. So we have been discussing how through the imagery of the archery, a sadhaka who wishes to know Brahman, the real cause or the of this entire world, he has cannot realize that Brahman with an impure mind, with a scattered mind, with uncontrolled senses. He must become a straight and sharpened arrow and taking the help of the Guru's teachings, scriptural teachings, Upanishadic teachings, Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, Holy Mother's teachings. He must become one with Brahman. And that is possible only through the grace of God and through the grace of the Guru. Guru and God are not separate. They are one and the same. But even though a person may be ready, he may not be very knowledgeable about the goal, the Brahman. This has been again and again being described to people like us. Why again and again? Because it is extraordinarily difficult to grasp anything fully. Swami Vivekananda used to say, a chemist, if he goes on analyzing all the elements which make up this entire universe, even one element, he will find out there is one root cause from which all so-called so many causes, so many elements have come out. Like our Vedantic Panchabhutas, all chemicals came from earth, etc. But all the five elements came only from one source. Atmanaha Akasha Sambhutaha. So if we can know clearly, then our understanding through sadhana gradually becomes clearer and even more clearer until we become one with that ultimate knowledge. Then only we will know 100% what that Brahman is. This is the secret of knowledge. The more we identify that object of which we wish to know, the more will be our knowledge. From a distance, without identifying, real knowledge is not at all possible. 1% identification, 1% knowledge. 50% identification, 50% knowledge. 99% identification, 99% knowledge. What is this 99% identification? This is called Brahma Akara Vritti. But even there is that 1% separation is there. Therefore, 1% correct knowledge is not there. In other words, if the knowledge is even 0.0001% less, it is imperfect knowledge, incorrect knowledge, in fact, wrong knowledge. Because we are experiencing this world, and this is all nothing but Brahman. But this world is nothing but Brahman, but we have only 0.0001% about any object in this world. If only we know through purified minds, complete identification with this, any object in this world, including a stone, a piece of wood, etc., that is the secret, then we come to know everything in this world is Brahman, and we are part of that world. We are also nothing but Brahman. This is the highest truth the teacher Angira had given him. You must become, O my disciple Shaunaka, like that straight, no crooked behavior, and sharpened. The mind must be under complete control in order to achieve one-pointedness, complete one-pointedness. That is called Hipasa Nishitam Sharam. And then take the help of the Pranava. Pranava means Omkara. Omkara is the very essence of all scriptures which Sri Ramakrishna had imparted on the very first visit of him. Sandhya merges in Gayatri and Gayatri merges in Om. He did not say Omkara merges in something else, because Om, which is called Pranava, is also the symbol both for the personal God and impersonal God. And by implication, it is a symbol for Jivatma. It is a symbol also for Paramatma. Jivatma purified with worship and upasana, saka, nishkama karma and meditation, contemplation, and aided by shravana, manana, nididhyasana, hearing, deeply thinking until all the doubts are resolved, about which we are soon going to come here to discuss here itself, and then finally becomes completely identified with that. Such a person very soon attains that. Out of compassion, the Rishi Angira is again and again describing the nature of the Atman. When any person describes something, that means that thing is existing undoubtedly. So through this teaching, Angira is teaching to all of us, Shaunaka is only what we call an instrument through which this knowledge is being spread all over the world. So what was he teaching? Brahman exists. Brahman only Brahman exists. And Brahman is of the nature of pure knowledge or pure consciousness. And it is nothing but pure happiness, which is called Ananda. In the Mantra 7, which we have been dealing in our last class. Yah sarvagnaha sarvavit yasya esha mahima bhuvi divye brahma purehi esha vyomni atma pratishtitaha. Yah sarvagnaha sarvavit bhuvi yasya esha mahima esha atma divye brahma pure vyomni pratishtitaha. He who knows all and he who understands all and to whom belongs all the glory in this world, or in other words, this very world itself is his glory. He, that Atman, is residing in this space, the effulgent abode of Brahman. So, this is the understanding that we get here. Where is this Atman? He is within us, within everything in this world, within a mountain, within a river, within the five elements, within the both the living and the non-living. In what form? In the inert things, non-living things, in the manifested form of existence. Brahman's existence is the existence of everything. But where there is Sat, existence, there must be Chit, there must be Ananda. But they are not manifest. They are not manifest for whom? For ignorant people. This is where we must recollect, once Ramakrishna was telling that he wanted to know whether his spiritual progress is real or it is only imaginary, his own imagination. So he said, Mother, if my imagination or if this my spiritual progress is real, then he pointed out to a very huge stone and then said, let this stone dance. And immediately the stone started dancing. Was it his imagination that the stone was dancing, or is it a fact? We have to presume that it is a fact, because we do not see the truth 100%. A realized soul sees, for him there is nothing inert. That is why in India, mountains are worshipped, earth is worshipped, rivers are worshipped, Agni is worshipped, waters are worshipped, and air is worshipped, Vayu Devata and Akasha Devata as Shiva himself, Akashalingam. For those who are realized souls, there is nothing but Brahman. For us, only one aspect of Brahman is manifest in the form of existence, even in inert things, so-called inert things. But this Chitan Ananda is more and more manifest according to the evolution of living beings. For example, even in an ant, consciousness is crawling. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. But for us, we do not see much of consciousness there. But when we see a person like Sri Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, etc., we see full consciousness is playing. Even not only it is playing, but it is playing with that particular purified body and purified mind. But our body and mind is not that pure, and accordingly our understanding is imperfect, partial, and that's why we go, sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are unhappy. So what is the glory of this great Atman or Brahman? Yaha Sarvajnaha. He knows everything. Sarvavit, he knows everything. Why? Twice saying Sarvajnaha, Sarvavit. Literally translated into English language, it is exactly the same meaning. But there is a special emphasis. Sarvajnaha means he knows, the Brahman knows everything. And Brahman knows everything about everything. For example, we know so many things. I know a table, I know a tree, but I don't know much. Probably I know only less than 1% of anything in this world. But Brahman, he knows everything and everything about everything. 100% knowledge about everything in this world. Earlier I mentioned, the more we identify ourselves, the more is our knowledge. That law can be applied here. What is it? Brahman has become everything. Therefore, Brahman knows everything of everything. Sarvajnaha means knowing everything. Sarvavit means knowing everything about every single object in this world. Of course, this is from our phenomenal viewpoint, Vyavaharika Drishti. Paramarthika Drishti, there is no everything. There is no Sarva. Just it to say he knows is also redundant. Only I am. Nothing else will be there. Even that is also only human language. Because when only one is there, who is to know whom, for what purpose, by what means? And then, Eshaha Mahi Bhuvi Yasya Mahima. This is his glory. And what is his glory? This entire universe is nothing but his glory, because he is only manifesting. At the end of the 10th chapter, we have seen that wherever you see some Adyat Vibhuti Matsatvam Srimadurjita Mevava Tatta Deva Avagachatvam Mamatejo Amsha Sambhava. There also says, whenever you see anything really adorable, excellent, supreme, something special, know that it is me only manifesting. But we also have to understand, not only speciality, everything in general is also nothing but he or the Atman. He is everywhere. When he is everywhere, then where is the question of seeking him? Wherever we see, whatever we experience, we have to understand it is nothing but God and God and God. But unfortunately, our minds are not pure. Since the minds are not pure, only we understand something, we have to purify our heart. When we purify our heart, when to the extent we purify our heart, we slowly understand not only God is in the universe, not only God created the universe, not only God is in the universe, God is the universe. That is the essence of the 11th chapter. But to make that point, to understand that point, we have to turn our attention inward. That's what he is telling. Eshaha, this Brahman, Eshaha Atma, this Brahman, where is he? Vyomni Pratishtitaha. He is visible, he is established, he is, in other words, realizable in our hearts. And that heart is called Divyam, it is divine, Brahmapuri, that Puri, that Pura, that city, that location where Brahman is manifest. And wherever Brahman is manifest, that is divine, that makes everything that is surrounding also divine. Like when somebody sees an empty place, then it is just an empty place, we can do whatever we like with it. But if the same place, a temple comes up, then because of the divine Lord in the sanctum sanctorum, everything, the whole temple, temple walls, the surroundings of the temple, everything becomes very, very sacred. Even thieves become scared to touch anything there. Divye Brahmapurehi Eshaha Atma Vyomni Pratishtitaha. He is firmly established. What does it mean? Not that he is sitting there alone. He is available for us to do darshana. Just as God is everywhere, but we do not have the capacity to see him everywhere. Is God in the lavatory? Of course he is in the lavatory. He, not only he is in the lavatory, he is the lavatory. But has he not become polluted? On the other hand, because Brahman is the lavatory, and what is in the lavatory, there is nothing which can be despised, etc. Everything is the Divine Mother. Remember Sri Ramakrishna's tantric sadhana? One day, the Brahmani brought some fish and a skull, and that food was cooked in that skull. And she asked Sri Ramakrishna, you taste it. Somehow he was able to taste it. Because for us, any part of the dead body is frightening, scary. But in Tantra it says, we are living, non-living, small, big, everything is nothing but the Divine Mother. Another day, she brought rotten human flesh and asked him to taste it. That day Sri Ramakrishna said, I could not bring myself to touch it. But Brahmani herself said, what is there, my child? Everything is sacred. If your mind is sacred, you see only nothing but God. She tasted a little, and then Sri Ramakrishna said, I was possessed by Divine Mother Chandi. Then I had no abhorrence, and I could eat it as the prasad of the Divine Mother. So this is very surprising. Whatever we are eating is nothing but the fertilizer. And what is it that is used as a fertilizer? The droppings of bats, the droppings of birds, the droppings of animals. This is what we call fertilizer. And that fertilizer takes a different shape, which we call beautiful, tasteful mangoes, apples, etc., etc. Everything in this world is nothing but transformation of that Brahman and nothing else. So, what are we talking here about? God is not only within us, he is everywhere. But at the beginning of sadhana, it's not possible for us to understand that fact. That's why he says, you will have to purify your heart. As soon as the heart means pure mind, pure thoughts. When we develop only thinking positive thoughts, good thoughts, pure thoughts, and not having any attachment, not falling into the net of raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes, looking upon everything as sacred, as the divine mother's prasada. Then that becomes Mahaprasada. Then we will immediately, prasada means God, will be able to perceive that divine everywhere. So, O Shaunaka, do not search here and there. He is right within you. And that is what Kabir Dasa was saying. Moko kaha dundere bande, maito tere pasmehu. Literal meaning is, do not search anywhere, I am right with you. But what we need to understand is I am outside you, I am with you, I am inside you, my child. The final realization is, I am you and you are I, tattvamasi, aham brahmasmi. But that has to taken place. Further descriptions, manomayaha prana sharirana pratishthita anne hridayam sannidhaya tadvijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha anandarupam amrutam yadvibhati. So he assumes the forms of the mind and sense organs and the body and leads everything, the body and the senses. He dwells in the body, inside the mind, inside the heart. By the knowledge of that Brahman as residing within the body mind, as the mover of the body and mind in the form of prana. The people who understand this, they attain to the highest bliss because he is the highest bliss. And they attain immortality. They go beyond death, beyond birth and death, beyond the sixfold changes. That is called amrutatva. Such people are called wise people. And where do they behold this Atman? They behold him fully in all things, in everywhere, at all times. There is no time when they do not see at all. This is to clarify our understanding. Let us listen to it and meditate upon it. Manomayaha. He assumes the form of the mind. Prana sharira neta. He himself becomes what we call prana, the vital airs. And this prana divides itself into five particular functions. That is what we call prana is functioning divided into five parts. Why five parts? Five parts means it is prana is not something to be divided, but depending upon what functions they do. Some part of the prana, it digests and carries the essence to all the parts of the body. Some help us to breathe in and breathe out. Some help us so that the prana will be equally distributed. Energy is equally distributed. Some help us to control our mind. Some part of the prana helps us in the end, what we call throw out the prana, so that this worn out body is to be recycled again, to be made into a new vehicle, what is called refurbished, recycled. Where is Brahman? Everywhere. And everywhere means what? He is as an object, he is as the body, he is as the mind, he is as the prana. And catching hold of this body mind and enlivening it with the help of prana. So what does he do? He makes this life possible for all of us. But he is available for understanding only in the Hridaya, in all his glory. The earlier part of this mantra telling God is everywhere and a specific part of that function that you look for him within you see anybody, that is Brahman. You see anybody living, breathing, that is Brahman. You see anybody thinking, that is Brahman. There is nothing but Brahman. What about some people who are sleeping? That is also nothing but Brahman in the form of Jagradavastha and dream avastha, sapna avastha. Not only that, but in the form of Sushupti avastha too. That is there in the Mandukya Karika. This has been beautifully analyzed. So what is the essence of this seventh mantra we are talking about? Nothing exists excepting that Brahman, and that is the only thing that really exists. But when our mind becomes thoughtless, then God can be identified as I am Brahman, and because is Nirguna Nirakara. But so long as the mind is functioning, he will be called Saguna Brahma, and whatever we see with open eyes, with closed eyes, nothing but Parabrahma. That is what is mentioned. This was exactly the 10th, 41th sloka of the Vibhuti Yoga. Yadyat Vibhuti Matsatvam Srimadurjitamevava Tattadeva Avagachatvam Mama Tejo Amsha Sambhavam. And such people who can understand, such people, they are called Dhiras. They are called the Dhiraha Anandarupam Amrutam Paripashyanti. They see, Dhira means what? Dhi means Buddhi. Purified Buddhi means right understanding. Such people who are endowed through purity of sadhana, they will slowly make their Buddhi understand that God is everywhere. If He is everywhere, I am none other than that same God. Such people, they become identified with Brahman. And what is the nature of Brahman? Sat, Chit and Ananda. Ananda Rupa. Ananda Rupa Brahma. Amrita Rupa Brahma. Paripashyanti. Vijnana. Vijnana is equivalent to Chit. And Amrita is equivalent to Sat. Ananda is equivalent to Ananda. So they become one with Brahman. I am Satchidananda. And where is it to be found? In everyone's heart. So first of all, we have to go to temples. We have to look for him in sages. We have to think that our guru is that Parabrahma. And if we can follow his teachings, our hearts become pure. And in that heart, he shines. I am, I am. And then when we open our eyes, that I am, he is, it is, she is, everything that exists is understood as nothing but Brahman. That means I am everything, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Right. Now, this person becomes Brahman. Then what happens? Something magical happens. What happens? This person's all bandhana, all what is called that bondage, will completely fall off. And this bondage is divided into three parts. First part of the bondage is, it is a knot. And second part of the bondage is the doubts. Third part of the bondage is the karma and karma phala. All these three will fall off automatically when a person becoming a dhira, he sees Ananda Rupam Amrutam Yadvibhati, the ever shining Satchidananda. As soon as a person sees, here seeing means not as we see an object, but to understand. Not seeing, not hearing, but understanding. What is the understanding? That which I have been seeking is none other than me and me only. At that very moment, I am that. When a man understands it, he is not a man any longer. Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. What happens? This is one of the most famous mantra. Vidyate hridaya grandhihi, chidyante sarvasamshayaha, kshiyante cha asya karmani, tasmin drishte paravare. The fetters of the heart are broken, all doubts are resolved, and the karmas with all their fruits ceases to bear fruit when he is beheld who is both high and low. So when does this happen? That is being said here. Tasmin, that divine Brahman, para and avara. What is para and avara? Para means cause. Avara means effect. Brahman is the moolakarana, which Shaunaka asked. Kasminnu bhagavo vignate sarvamidam vignatam bhavatiti. Brahman is the cause. When there is cause, there must be effect. What is the effect? This whole universe, this prapancha, this jagat, this entire jagat, both gross, subtle, as well as causal. Everything goes by the name of the world. This whole world is nothing but that Brahman appearing, endowed with forms, names and gunas or prayojanas. When a person understands that the world is the effect and the cause is Brahman and there is a law, whatever is the nature of the cause, the effect must possess the same characteristics, the same nature. Para avare drishte, as soon as a person realizes, here drishta means as soon as it is understood that the whole universe is nothing but Brahman, what happens? That very moment, simultaneously, Ramakrishna is illustrating this. Suppose there is a room and it is dark for 1000 years and as soon as one matches stick is struck, instantaneously, as the match blazes forth into light, the darkness also simultaneously disappears. Not little by little, not after it is lit, but that very moment it is disappeared. So what happens? Hridaya grandehi vidyate. The knots of the heart are completely destroyed. Chidyante sarva samshaya. All doubts. Samshaya means doubt. Sarva. Every type of doubt. Chidyante. They are completely uprooted, burnt. Karmanisha kshiyante. All the karmas, karma phala here are completely destroyed. What remains then? Only Atman remains. Bondage is gone. Maya is gone. He becomes a Brahmavid. Slight explanation we will go into. This first of all, Grandhi. Grandhi means a knot. K-N-O-T. So knot. What is that knot? God does not exist. Or God is far away. He is not here. He is far away. I am here. Something else is here. But God is far away. That knot is always joining up two things, two pieces of thread, two pieces of rope, or even when two business people join together, it becomes a knot, they become a company. Or when man and woman get married, that's why they bind Mangala Sutra, thrice the bridegroom ties. So that forms a big knot. Previously, I am separate, the other person is separate. Now, we have become double persons. We are clinging to each other. Then we quarrel, we make love, we are happy, we are unhappy. Then children come along. That is how the bandhana comes. And the older the knot, the stronger it becomes. Difficult it is to cut that knot. This ancient Maya, that is, the Atman had become married to Anatman. That is the unholy knot. Naturally, it looks as though, since it is billions of years old or anadi, it is difficult. But the scripture assures us, the moment this jnana deepa comes, the light of knowledge, that very moment, everything becomes, disappears. And this knowledge can come by the grace of God and through the medium of Guru's instructions, and God Himself bestows upon us Shraddha, Bhakti, etc. And persistently, if we can practice a little bit, then God takes 100 steps towards us and then releases from. This is the meaning of Granthi. This most difficult to destroy, that knot will be made knot. K-N-O-T is made into knot by the grace of the Divine. Then, samshaya means doubts. So long as we are possessed by Maya, three forms of doubts will come. God doesn't exist is first form. God may exist, He is somewhere else, that is the second. Third is, God may be there, here or anywhere, but He is of no use because I called Him many times, but He never comes. Complete denial is one form. Doubting about Him is another form, and misunderstanding Him completely is another form. These are the three forms in which doubt manifests itself. But as soon as we behold, it's our direct experience. If there is no place for any doubt, chidyante sarva samshayaha. And then what is the knowledge that comes? That I am Brahman. I am not the body or mind. I am not the, what we call, mano buddhi ahankara chitta ninaham. I am chidananda rupa Shivoham, Shivoham. That knowledge will come. So as a result of that, as soon as a person comes to know, I am not the body, I am not the mind, then all karmas completely becomes jnana agni dagdha karmanam, become burnt. And these karmas, according to the scriptures, with which we should be more than familiar by now. What are the three forms? That sanchita karma and agami karma and prarabdha karma. What we have been accumulating through many, many innumerable countless births and ready to fructify sometime in future. That is called the accumulated results of actions. Mind you, not actions, because when we are present only, we can act. We cannot act in the past, we cannot as well act in the future. So this results of them, any of them, innumerable results of sanchita karma phalas are awaiting for fructification. And a small bit of it started fructifying. That is called prarabdha, arabdha, already started. Our present life, body, mind and circumstances, the people with whom we come into contact, experiences we have from birth to death and the memories we have, the samskaras with which we are born, all these are the results of prarabdha karma. But even when a person becomes a jnani by realizing I am Brahman, sometimes the body continues. Then that is, whatever actions are done, the results will come. They are called agami. So sanchita is gone, prarabdha continues. Agami means the results of what we are doing now. In the case of ordinary people, is a mixture of good and evil, sometimes more evil than good. But in the case of realized souls, those who know, I am that Brahman, I am that Atman. For many, many janmas, this sadhaka is doing sadhana. Therefore, he was gradually reducing what is called Shastra Nishiddha Karma. That means he is reducing his papa karmas, only accumulating punya karmas. Some papa, some sin can be done unconsciously, unintentionally. For example, when we are walking in darkness, we may step over either some animal, some mouse or a small insect or whatever and snuff out the life. Ramana Maharshi used to say, I have given a moksha to many baby squirrels, like that. Many things we can do, but that is not intentional. We are not doing it with purpose. So the papa will not be much, very, very, very minimal. But punya will be tremendous. Why? This person, before realization, and especially after realization, his mind is occupied only thinking about God. As a result, what happens is accumulating tremendous punya. Taking God's name gives a tremendous punya. Merely repeating God's name with bhakti and shraddha gives tremendous punya, and punya leads to tremendous happiness. But this person is already merged in Brahmananda. What is he going to do with this punya and that he has been accumulating? Or if there is any prarabdha remaining papa, what is it going to happen? So many scriptures answer it in a beautiful way. There are people whose mission in life is to create trouble to such kind of people, these great sages, realized souls. And this person, whatever little amount of papa is left out, these evil, wicked people, they will suffer terribly. But those who are devotees adore and then serve him, even though they do not wish, but this punya will go to them. But in this case, this punya doesn't tempt them with higher worlds. Rather than this punya intensifies their spiritual longing and then brings great people as their company. They will come into contact with holy places, holy books, holy gurus, holy saints and sages, and their further advancement is hastened like a special track. They will go to God very, very quickly. This is what we tell, that all the karmas will be finished, all the doubts will be burnt, and all the knots are completely destroyed as soon as Jnana comes. What is that Jnana? I am not separate from God. I am not only one with God. There is no oneness there. I am God. That is the meaning of this beautiful Vidyate Hridaye Granthe Chidyante Sarva Samshayaha Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Tasmin Drishte Paravari, by realizing Him. But again, the Mundaka Upanishad is telling, where is it to be realized? Is it outside in a temple or in a holy tirtha? No, He is right within you. Hiranmaye Pare Koshe Virajam Brahma Nishkalam Tat Shubhram Jyotisham Jyoti Tat Yat Atma Vidho Viduhu. There, the stainless and indivisible Brahman shines in the highest golden sheath. It's pure. It is the light of the lights. The Brahman is the light of the lights. This Brahman is that which they know who know the self. So it's a beautiful mantra. In this particular section, some of these mantras are to be memorized, because not only grammatical wise, literary wise, meaningful wise, deep meaning, and the words that the Rishi had chosen are so marvelous, very special. As soon as we hear, they invoke the greatest meaning to us. So what is he telling? Where shall I see? That's what he is telling. So Pare Koshe, there is a para means, there is a supremely suitable kosha. Kosha means usually what? Annamaya kosha, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya koshas. Or sthula sharira, sukshma sharira, and karana sharira. Here, the panchakoshas, there is one kosha called vijnanamaya. Vijnana means visesha jnana, where as a result of experience, we all get a very special type of understanding, right type of understanding that takes place in that particular container, kosha, that is called vijnanamaya kosha. That vijnanamaya kosha is being described here. And how is it? Hiranmayaha. It is shining. It is shining like burnished gold. Remember, in the Isavasya Upanishad, the sadhaka is struggling. He was unable to understand. He is praying. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam poshan apavrano satya dharmaya drishtaye. Oh Lord, I am trying to realize you, but this golden disc is obstructing me. I know you are within that golden disc, on the other side of the golden disc, but this golden disc is not allowing me. It is not opening its door to me. Kindly will you open, O Lord? There was a great singer saint, Tyagaraja, and he composes several kirtanas. O Lord Venkateshwara, the doors to your temple are closed. Tira the curtain. Tira Radha. Why don't you take off the curtain? What is that curtain? Maya. And that Maya is shining, extremely attractive, difficult to push it aside and go inside. That attracts our heart so much, drowns us in this world of Maya in the form of happiness. Every object comes in the form of happiness. This beautiful person, this beautiful eating material, this beautiful dress, and this beautiful music, this beautiful temperature, this beautiful fragrance, the whole world is mesmerized by this Maya. But this is shining, this Vijnanamaya Kosha, like burnished gold. Why? Because that which is within is nothing but pure light. Because of that light cannot be contained. No amount of curtain, no amount of wall, no amount of obstruction can completely obstruct. Even through the small chinks, it is through the pores, the light is coming up, lighting up the whole place like burnished gold. Hiranmaye Pare Koshe. Within that Hiranmaya, this supreme kosha called Vijnanamaya Kosha, this Brahma is manifesting, not only residing, manifesting, directing the body and mind, and he is the real Jivatma, not our false Ahankara. What is the nature? Virajam. Rajam means impurity. Virajam means Vigata, Raja, Esmat. From whom all the impurities cannot approach even, because it is like burning, terribly burning fire. Anything comes, it will be burnt. You understand what is burnt? Impurities are burnt. A goldsmith melts the gold, separates all the impurities, and that fire helps him to do all that. He is Brahman, is like that fire, and therefore he is Virajam, absolute Shuddham. Shuddham, Shukram, these are the words used. Nishkalam, Kalam, Kala means a pot, an Amsha. The moon is called, he said, Shodasha Kala Purna. And a girl who attained 16 years of age, she is called Shodashi. It is Nishkalam. Brahma is Akhanda. Brahma is partless, like this space. Everything, the earth, the water, the fire, the all these things can be divided. Perhaps even the air. But space can never be divided. So Brahman is the root cause of this one. Therefore, we have to understand this Brahma is partless. When it is partless, it is impossible to divide it. If something has to be impure, that means a pure something must come into contact with something other than something pure, which is called impurity. Since Brahman is partless, there is nothing else which can come. And by implication, it is Nishkalam also means infinite. And infinite is one, therefore there is nothing to contaminate it, nothing to change it. That is why it is also Nirvikara, changeless. A pure something becomes impure. A new something becomes old something. A beautiful something becomes ugly. But since there is only one, there is no second, it is impossible for it to change in the slightest degree. That is called Nishkalam. That fact is being further described, Tat Brahma Shubhram. It is absolutely pure, and it is of the nature of light. Shubhram means pure. That's why we say in South India, is the room Shubhram? Is the bed Shubhram? Is the place Shubhram? Is the temple Shubhram, etc.? And what is the further nature? Jyotisham Jyotihi. It is the light of the lights. Which one? That yet Atma Vidho Viduhu. That which is indescribable, but what they experience, but they cannot describe it. That which is indescribable, that which is one, that which is infinite, that which is pure, that which is beyond body and mind and speech and action, everything. But through experience, Atma Vidaha, the knowers of the Atman, they, by becoming one, they know, I am the Atman. What is the nature of that Atman? Jyotisham Jyotihi. It is the light of the lights. That is being described to us in our daily prayer. Jyotira Jyoti Ujjvala Hridikandara Tumitama Bhanjanahar. And why is it called Jyotira Jyoti, light of the lights? Because there are usually five lights are indicated. At least here, five lights are indicated. The sun, the moon, the stars, fire and speech. It is daytime. The sun has risen and there is light. And the nature of that light is, light lights itself up and says to people, I am light. You don't need another light to search for light. Even one spark somewhere, instantaneously it tells, I am a spark, because that is its nature. And it also illumines whatever is nearby according to its capacity. These are what is called Swayam Prakashatvam and Paraprakashatvam. That not only it illumines itself and makes itself known to anybody, it also lights up every other object. And of all these lights, the sunlight is the most powerful. Every other light, physical light, mental light, these are all the lights springing because of the effect of the sunlight. And because of the sunlight, there is moonlight. There is nothing called moonlight. The sunlight reflected in that dead matter called moon, that is called moonlight. Then there is what we call all the stars. The stars are also existing only because of this one light, the sunlight. And then this fire, physically, night is cold. We take some dry firewood and then lit up, and then the fire comes. It also does three things. First of all, it gives light. Secondly, it gives heat, and that is why we can cook our food material, etc. It can also remove our coldness nearby. That is the second thing. First is light. Second is heat. Same thing applies to every type of light. And then the third thing that comes is, it also illumines other objects. That's why many times some people, they take a stick and at the end put some cloth, dip it in oil, light it up, and that becomes like a lamp guiding them, moving from one dark place to another dark place. This fire is the fourth one. The sun, the moon, the stars, the fire. But even when these are absent, there is another light. That is called walk prakasha. Suppose you are in darkness and there are some people at a distance and you want to approach them and you don't know where they are. You shout, "My friend, where are you?" Immediately the answer comes, "We are here." And by hearing that sound, from which direction the sound is coming, how clear is the sound, we more or less guess if persons are here and there is safety, I want to join them. Slowly you make your way towards them. So that speech has become the guiding light to approach those people. All these are external lights, but they all are completely useless without one light. What is that light? My awareness, my consciousness. If I am unconscious, whether it is daytime, nighttime, moon is there, stars are there, fire is there, somebody is shouting, it's completely useless. Without this light, every other light is useless. With this light, every other light is cognized, taken advantage of it. That's why it is called the light of the lights. So that is what we need to understand in this ninth mantra. We will discuss this beautiful concept, because in the next mantra itself it is said that without this light, the sun doesn't shine, etc. Natatra suryo bhati name chandra tarakam nema vidyato bhanti kuto ayam agnihi tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. So only because of this light, all these are possible for us to, not only they manifest because of the light of the Brahman, and we can recognize them as lights only because of the light of the Atman. And that light is not a guna, a quality of Atman, but it is Atman's own nature. And these are the points we will discuss in our next Sunday. Om Bhadram Karne Vishunuyama Devaha Bhadram Pashi Makshavirjatraha Stirairangai Stushtuvagum Sastanubhi Vyashema Devahitanyadayuhu Swastina Indro Vritthashravaha Swastina Pusha Vishvavedaha Swastina Starkshu Arishtanimihi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.